perfected praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He is worthy. Mark chapter 16. We'll just start at verse 10. Well, we'll go back to verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week. How many of you know what the first day of the week is? Sure about that? Absolutely positive. Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah, okay. Amen. You know, a couple of years ago, they were trying to change things around. They want to try and do who's they? Certain individuals that are influenced by demonic influence really want to try and remove the very thought or knowledge of Christ. Water the church down to a level where we all are sharing everything in common with all other religions, if you will, and just have society depend on themselves, which will set the stage for the Antichrist. We're not going to go into all of that now. But we as the Church of the Living God, we have to stay in the Word and have the Word stay in us. Live in it and let the Word live in us. Amen? And so they were trying to change it. But Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the last day of the week, or the Sabbath, if you will. So it was early Sunday morning where Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. We can look back, hindsight is always 20/20, as they say. We can look back and see that, we'd say something like, man, if we were there, see, we would have been, you know, it's like, yeah, Jesus is alive and all. But, you know, many of us probably would have been just like the others, couldn't believe it, especially if they saw our Savior crucified the way he was crucified. I believe that was one of the main things that made it so difficult for Thomas to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, because he saw him there, how marred he was. And Isaiah depicts it or speaks about it roughly 700 years before it actually takes place. And Isaiah was like, his visage was so marred, you couldn't recognize him. And they beat him, and they beat him profusely, I guess you could say that. They beat him bad. You couldn't recognize him on the cross. Just shredded all over, face, body, blood everywhere. And there he was, suspended on that cross. So it was difficult for them to believe that he had actually risen from the dead, because they saw the horrific death that he had to endure. When he rose from the dead, there was the only thing that was there was the holes. He had been cleaned up, praise God. And so Mary Magdalene saw him, and she got excited and came back to tell the disciples, and they're like, don't believe it. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, we're not there, Matthew says it, even after he rose from the dead and they came to see him in Galilee, still there were some that doubted. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them, There was so much doubt around at that time. And that doubt is a thing that the saints of God have to fight off even now. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, the upbraiding means, you know, it wasn't like Jesus came in commending them and saying, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. I know it was hard for you all to believe. And, you know, I really, you know, I'm just glad that you're all here still. No, he rebuked them for their unbelief. If you ever want to know what Jesus does or how he, with his attitude and mindset is, when we doubt, when we question, we have a lack of faith, it is a stern rebuke. Did that make sense? Why? Because if we look at Jesus in the Word, and then we listen how many talk about Jesus in life, we can see two different Jesus. Because on the one hand, in life, he's a God of love, he's a God of this, you know, and he just, you know, and grace and all of this other stuff, and it's just that we can do any old kind of thing that we want to do, and Jesus just accepts it. But when we take it to the Word, we see him rebuking his own disciples, especially here for their unbelief, their lack of belief, their lack of faith. This is going to bring us to a point, and I'm almost there. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 and sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the divine goal that we have. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's, you know, it's either one or the other. There's no in between. There's no, you know, well, because they're a good person and all. It's like, no, he that believeth and is baptized shall be damned, or shall be saved. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Believeth what? Believeth in Jesus, that he is the Savior of all humanity. If we don't believe in Jesus, now, even with the baptism, it's not like, you know, if you don't get baptized, you're going to be damned. You'll be damned if you don't believe. The water baptism is simply our obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus. And if we believe in him, we will automatically move forward with baptism. Water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, every other baptism Jesus wants to give us. There's the baptism of fire. The baptism of suffering is a baptism of death, dying to ourselves. We'll go on with the full completion of baptism. If you notice in Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is, it talks about the early foundational principles, and one of them is the doctrine of baptisms, plural, meaning there's more than just one. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then this is the verse we want to get to. And these signs, everybody say signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, amplify it, says it like this. In my name, well, this particular one doesn't say. But it's in my name, in the authority of my name, and everything that his name represents. There's one translation that gives that definition of it. In all that it represents, they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, this is Jesus. And what some would say, well, it wasn't in the early manuscripts. Well, I'm glad somebody got it in there. Praise God. Amen. Rather than just accepting what somebody says, it wasn't in the original. Do demons get cast out today? Amen. So if demons get cast out, let me back it up. Do people get saved today? Okay. Praise God. So if people get saved, then devils can get cast out. Then believers can speak with new tongues. Now, this taking up serpents, some take that literally. And people have played with rattlesnakes and cobras and things like that. And they've gotten bitten and they've died on the spot by playing around. That's not what Jesus was saying. We're not to tempt the Lord in anything. But, you know, the Apostle Paul was the example when he was at the Isle of Malta. And, of course, the ship had crashed and had fell apart, and they had all made it to sea, or made it not to sea, but made it to the land. And when they got there, as they were building the fire, Paul went to put some wood on the fire, and when he put it there, the serpent jumped out and bit him and held on to him, and Paul just shook it off, and the thing fell into the fire. The people looked at him and said, he must be guilty. Because even though he's escaped drowning in the sea, he's gotten bitten by this snake. He's going to die. He had to be guilty. And they looked at him and they watched him, and that snake had no effect on Paul, just like the fire had no effect on Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They had power over the fire because the power was God with them. And so if we can believe, then we can cast out devils. If we can cast out devils, we can speak with new tongues. If we speak with new tongues, if we take up a serpent or a serpent shall bite us, it will not hurt us. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Doesn't mean we just go get a can of Drano and start drinking it to see if it's going to hurt us. That's tempting the Lord. But as it was with John, they said John was poisoned. First they said he was boiled in oil. Then I heard he was boiled three times in oil. Neither one of those were able to overpower him or hurt him. Then they say that he was poisoned. They made him drink poison, but the poison had no effect on him because God was with him, simply validating the word. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All it requires is faith. All it requires is belief. It's something that Jesus wants to do. And so we are the church of the living God, and that's what we do. And we should see results. Amen. Not everybody that Jesus prayed for or laid hands on got healed. It wasn't that he lacked the power or the ability. It was that in most cases, they were so familiar with him, they could not receive from him. But there were places where Jesus would go, and everybody that came in would get healed. So tonight, everybody that got healed, raise your hand. Living proof. It still works. It still works. So the word is true. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. Whatever God's word says is what we have, what we possess, and what we are to do as a church of the living God. If God tells us, no, don't do that, we don't do that. If God's word says, do this, that's what we do, because that's who we are as the people of God. Amen. This is our instructions for daily living. Has everybody come and given an offering? All right. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. That was awesome about, first of all, everything that took place tonight. But that was really awesome. That as we prayed for little Victor, while in the midst of praying, the mother texts and says he's home. That's God doing that. That's not us. Just so happens, while we are praying, you know what happened in Scripture? When the saints of God prayed, Peter got freed from jail. while they were praying for him. And when Peter came to the door, knocked on the door, I think her name was Rhoda. Rhoda came to answer the door, and she saw Peter and ran. Couldn't believe it. They said it must be his ghost. Peter's like, man, let me in. I just got out of jail. Let me in before the authorities come to get me. Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. And you're so good to us. We release our faith for our children. They all may be saved, and our grandchildren, that none of them will be a stumble. They'll live and declare your glory in Jesus' name. We have some guests visiting with us tonight, and we thank you dearly. What was your name again? Pat Miller? It was Pat Miller? Okay. And she told me earlier, that's why I almost forget. Oh. You're Renee? Welcome, Renee. Ah, Howard DeWeese. Amen. Can I have a hug? Amen. Rosemary. Rosemary DeWeese. Ah, thank you for coming. Praise God. That's a story in and of itself. Praise God. Thank you. And then who else do we? And we have back here. Now you said your name's Desiree. Is it Desiree? And Paul, welcome back in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming back to fellowship with us. And we have somebody that commuted from the upper states. Sister Joanne Kaler in our midst. Is that how you pronounce your last name, Kaler? Yes. That's Sister Sharon's sister. She came to fellowship with us, and she always tunes in when she gets the opportunity. And yes. And who else is there? And Brother Roman's back. Praise God. Oh. He was here Monday night. Praise God. He's here on Monday night. So the Lord keep adding and increasing and multiplying. Hallelujah. That every need shall be met. All right. Stretch forth your hands towards the offerings. Master, thank you. Thank you for everyone that you're sending our way, that no one leaves out of this place empty-handed. Everyone walks out with more than what they came in with and are better off than before they came. Thank you for releasing your healing power. Thank you for confirming your word in our midst. We present these offerings unto you tonight. In the name that's above every name, Jesus, receive our offerings. Lord Jesus, the faith that is in this room, the faith that went into the giving, the act of worship in giving, that ascends before the throne of Almighty God. With that worship the Father. We honor you, Jesus, even as you honor the Father. You are our great King and High Priest, seated at the right hand of the Father, and you ever live to make intercessions for us. Worship the Father with our faith, with our love, with our worship that comes up before you now. These offerings simply represent our heartfelt worship, our thanksgiving for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. For some, they may be sowing a seed. They're expecting a harvest or a miracle. For some, it may be just a love offering. For some, it may be their tithes, which belong unto you. In return, bless, Lord. In return, increase, Master. In return, multiply. We pray for jobs, for those who are lacking in jobs. We pray for raises. We pray for promotions for your people. We pray that you will bless them financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, in every area and aspect of their lives. For as John truly said, Lord God, we echo those words even this day, that we would prosper and be in health. Even as our soul prospers, so be it, Lord, as we worship you in our giving. I pray for increase, promotion, favor for your sons and daughters in this house. I pray that they suffer no lack and have no want because you abundantly supply our every need. Command the blessing upon your sons and daughters now, Lord Jesus. Command the blessing, Lord God. The favor, Father. Open doors that were previously shut in the name of Jesus. Lord, create opportunities for your people. Release wisdom, revelation, knowledge, creativity in the hearts and minds of your sons and daughters in this place at this time that will cause them, Lord, to prosper, to benefit, to be blessed, and to be a blessing. Empower your sons and daughters in this room to accumulate and achieve wealth for your purpose, for your kingdom, for your glory, and that every need is met and exceeded, Lord God, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, let not the gates of hell prevail. Rebuke the devourer that tries to consume our harvest, that tries to keep us from prospering, that tries to weigh us down. We rebuke oppression, depression, discouragement, frustration, flustering. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. Tonight, saints of God, come out of the rut. Tonight, saints of God, rise above the fray. Tonight, we walk in total and complete victory in your wonderful name. So bless your children, Lord God, as they have given willingly, cheerfully, and bountifully, that they may reap in like manner. And as always, we purpose to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and the ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go, and bless the works of your hands, in Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. 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 And amen. 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 Continue in prayer. We love you. Make sure you greet our guests, greet our visitors who've come. Yes. Yes. Yes.